I think it would be helpful to reflect on today's readings in light of yesterday's readings, because both the first reading and the gospel are continuations from yesterday. Yesterday, the great promise, the great prophecy given to David about David and his descendants. Today, David's response to that. Yesterday, the parable of the sower, the different kinds of soil, and then today, Jesus continuing to speak in symbolic language about what we receive. This time, not a seed, but a lamp. In fact, it's good not only to reflect on these readings in light of yesterday, but also in light of last Sunday. Continuity of the liturgy helps us understand each piece of it. So last Sunday was the declaration that Jesus was the light, fulfilling the prophecy that light would shine on people in darkness. And then he started his public ministry in Galilee. He called everyone to repentance, and he called his first four disciples, Peter, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You can imagine the reaction of those four when the divine light shone on them. They realized they had to do something. And as we know, they got up immediately, left their boats, left their nets, their families, and started to follow the Lord. Well, with that in the back of our minds, let's turn to this experience of King David. King David had the idea of building a temple for the Lord. He was going to do it until the Lord told him through the prophet Nathan that he, God, had a better idea, a much better idea. He's going to have someone else build the temple, David's descendants. But he also has in mind something greater than a temple. He wants to establish a kingdom that will last forever, and is going to establish it on David and his descendants. So it's an overwhelmingly great promise. And in today's first reading, David is reacting to this. It's like the apostles on Sunday being told, "Come after me and I will make you fishers of men." It's an overwhelming light. It's an overwhelming experience to have God reveal his great plan for us. And we should all realize this applies to all of us. God doesn't simply make great promises to other people. He makes great promises to us. He wants us to shine with eternal glory. He wants us to be radiant as the sun forever. David, after hearing that God has this extraordinary plan for him and his family, he goes into the tent where the ark was. He sits down and he says, "Who am I, Lord God? And who are the members of my house that you have brought me to this point?" Now, he's not saying, "Who am I? What's my name?" He's pondering what God has in mind for him. Who am I? What are you doing, Lord? And this is the right response. Who am I? Why favor me? I hope you can make that response as well to the Lord. Who am I? Why favor me? There's another time when we ask that question, and that's when something terrible happens. When we're knocked down, we're plunged into darkness, we might also ask, "Who am I? Why are you doing this to me?" You see the two extremes. So when we get something very beautiful or wonderful beyond our imagination, we say, "Well, who am I? I don't deserve this." But when something terrible happens and we feel like we're being abandoned or we're being put down, humiliated, we might also ask, "Who am I? Why am I being treated like this?" And it's also a good question. As long as we're bringing our inner experience to the Lord, as long as we're opening our hearts to the Lord, that's the right response, whether we're in light or in darkness. And King David here is in great light, and he's experiencing great consolation. But we know he also experienced times of great darkness. Just read the Psalms. The Psalms of David sometimes are great, glorious praises of God. Alleluia, alleluia. But some of the Psalms are the cry of someone in deep distress. "Help me, Lord. help me, I'm in the depths here. So David has both of these experiences, and so do we, if we're honest. I think part of the lesson is to bring these inner experiences to the Lord. Well, who am I? What am I to make of this? Now, David's prayer is essentially, your will be done. This is what you said, Lord, and I don't deserve it, but this is what you said, and I'll accept your promise. If you promise it, well then, may it be done. And that's right. That's a humble acceptance of the will of God, of the plan of God. Your will be done. It's a little difficult to do because it seems overwhelming. It seems like we're being stretched beyond our limit. It's also difficult to do when we're in deep darkness. Your will be done. I don't want it to be like this. But Lord, your will be done. The response is the same. See what I'm saying? Whether we're in light or in darkness. Jesus himself had this experience. Transfiguration. He's shining with light. In the agony of the garden, he's saying, I don't want it to be like this. Can you take this cup away from me? But in both cases, your will be done. Your will be done. That's the right response. Let's turn to the gospel where the disciples are receiving this instruction from Jesus. The word of God is a light, and it is a light that shines on our inner life, sometimes for our great consolation, sometimes for our confusion, or to expose some disorder. Jesus says, is a lamp brought in to be placed under a bushel basket or under a bed and not to be placed on a lampstand? He's an expert at using everyday experiences or everyday images as symbols of the spiritual life. Now, we don't carry around lamps that often, but we can understand it right away. If you have a lamp, you don't put it under something that hides the light. Doesn't make any sense. You see, this is an extension of what we heard yesterday where Jesus told the parable of the sower. The seed is being planted all over the place in many different kinds of soil. The question is not about the seed, but about the recipient. How will that seed be received? Something similar here with the lamp. The lamp is light. That's not the issue. It's light. Whether you like it or not, or whether you want it or not. The question is, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to receive the light? What are you going to do with this lamp? What are you going to do with this seed? Clearly, a lamp is meant to shine. Put it on a lampstand. Let it shine its light everywhere. Even on the dark places of our life where we might prefer to hide. No, let that light shine. Let the light of God's word shine on areas of disorder or sin or where we need to repent. Yes. Let it shine also on the great blessing so that we can see and appreciate what God is doing. Let the light shine on the whole of our life, our whole inner life, our whole life. There is nothing hidden except to be made visible, Jesus says. Nothing is secret except to come to light. He's not talking about telling other people's secrets. He's not talking about gossiping about things that other people have no right to know. He's talking about the gift he bestows on us, which is meant to be shared. The truth of God's love and mercy, the truth of God's extraordinary promises to us. Many people don't know that God has a great plan for us. Many people don't know that. They think that God doesn't care, or God is not interested, or they think that he's out to get them. There's lots of confusion about God's plan. So we who have received the word, who have this light shining on us, we have a responsibility to make it known, at least by the way we live, so that we're not increasing the darkness for other people. No, be a light. Be a light for others. Jesus then goes on to say that this light, insofar as it's given to us and should be given, otherwise we lose it. Huh? To the one who has, more will be given. Because God wants to give us more. From the one who has not, meaning the one who's shut the door, or the if you want to use yesterday's image, the rocky ground or the footpath, even what he has will be taken away. It's not God's fault that that happens. It's because we close our hearts or we put the lamp under a bushel basket. We're not being receptive. Now, it is challenging to receive the seed. It is challenging to receive the lamp. That there's no getting around it, because sometimes the lamp shines on things we'd rather not see. But it's still the right thing. It goes back to what I said, David's prayer is, "Your will be done." That's still the right prayer. So let us make that our prayer today as we receive light from God, light that shines on and reveals the extraordinary blessings we have all received, light that also shines on disorders in our life and in the world and makes us face the difficult realities. Yes, light, let light shine. Let the light of God shine on us, on our inner life, on our relatives and relationships and on the whole world, because it's God's light that makes it possible for us to shine.